Hello and welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. Well, let's see, if you're listening to this on Monday the 24th of September, then I'm dressed in a tux and performing a first degree tonight. And although I'm recording the show a few days before, I'm sure it will go off splendidly. In a week, I'll be attending a Scottish Rite dinner, and I may even petition. I wanted to mention a few things here at the top of the show. First, there is an iPhone crazy frenzy out there. So how does this matter to the show? Well, part of the new Apple iPhone is the new software, iOS 6, and with that, some new apps and features, one of which is the new Apple Podcast app. Now you don't have to go into the iTunes store, and etc. to access the podcast or any other podcast. You can do it easily and stream it right to your phone, just like with the Stitcher Smart Radio app. If you like Stitcher, remember to go to register. Use the promo code WhenceCameYou with no spaces, and they'll send us a dollar. You get to listen to the show, and you get a chance to win $100 in cash, and also a personalized stream of content. Another alternative is our app on the Android market and the App Store, which is really cool because I get to upload bonus stuff for you guys to download in addition to the show. So check that stuff out. I also wanted to touch base on a video project I'm putting together. This video is probably the most hard-hitting, emotional, esoteric, big-mind spinner that there ever was, as far as Freemasonry goes. I don't have Hollywood money, so as in most cases of the videos that I put together, I use photos, stock video, and some good music. But this time it's a little bit different. I used all those things, but I also used cut-up bits of movies, which I strung together to make you hopefully feel the way I wanted you guys to feel. I also used a snippet from the Culver City Lodge's award-winning video in it as well. But before I release anything, I have to reveal the video to them for approval, if they okay it and we're good. If not, I'll have to shoot that sequence myself. And that leads to the last thing about this video that is different. I actually had to film some stuff. I'm an okay photographer, so I guess the video is not half bad. Anyway, be on the lookout for news on that as it happens. I'm also working on publishing some of the papers I wrote and read for this show in some Masonic publications. If and when it happens, I'll let you know as well. I have some other projects in the works, so make sure you're following on Twitter and watching on Facebook for news between episodes. The first piece I have for you this week is called Boring Our Members to Death by Christopher Hodapp, author of Freemasons for Dummies. The spirit stood among the graves and pointed down to one. He advanced towards it trembling. The phantom was exactly as it had been, but he dreaded that he saw new meaning in its solemn shape. "Before I draw nearer to the stone to which you point," said Scrooge, "answer me one question. Are these the shadows of the things that will be, or are they shadows of things that may be?" Still the ghost pointed downward to the grave by which it stood. "Men's courses will foreshadow certain ends to which, if preserved in, they must lead," said Scrooge. "But if the courses be departed from, the ends will change. Say it is thus with what you show me." The spirit was immovable as ever. Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. Sit down and chat for about 10 minutes with an insurance agent and let him quote you chapter and verse about the death rate among the World War II generation. Okay, I'll grant you, there's a certain ghoulish aspect to it. I'm bringing it up because, like Scrooge's portentous specter, Freemasons have spent the last 15 years pointing an empty sleeve at a grave and blaming our declining membership numbers on the 4 million Masons who were members during our boom years, who have had the very bad timing to pass on to the Celestial Lodge above in record waves over the last dozen or so years. Once you're sufficiently bored by your insurance guy, give your grand secretary a call and ask him how the numbers compare between the death rate of members every year versus the losses from demits and non-payment of dues. Prepare yourself for a shock. In most jurisdictions in the United States and Canada, the losses of members from deaths has been statistically tapering off, while the losses due to Freemasons walking away from the fraternity have been rising at an alarming rate. Oh, we're initiating a very healthy dose of new Masons every year, all right, but men whom we have initiated, passed, and raised are deciding in increasing numbers to say no thanks to what their local lodge offers. Masonic membership rolls are still dropping, but not from natural causes. The truth is, we're boring our members to death. It has long been understood that the baby boom generation didn't join the Masons. As a result, there is a 5-decade difference between the generation of men who kept Freemasonry alive for us and the men who are now moving into leadership positions throughout the fraternity. At any other time in the history of Freemasonry, each succeeding generation came along approximately in 25-year intervals, making changes in their lodges and Freemasonry as a whole to reflect their needs and desires. Masonry has always adapted to serve the society in which it resided. Until recently. Now, instead of a 25-year adjustment in direction, Freemasonry is suffering from 50 years of habit and hardening of the arteries. Not long ago, I visited a lodge that had fallen on hard times. Very hard times indeed. At one time, their rolls held the names of more than 1,800 members. Today, they are down to 200. That's not an unusual state of affairs for a fraternity that artificially swelled in size after World War II, but for men who see success and failure only in the narrow terms of numerical statistics, it is an emergency of epic proportions. There were members in the lodge who remember those heady days like they were yesterday. They remember the degree nights with 150 Masons on the sidelines. They remember the dances and the Christmas parties and the big group trips. They remember the dinners when the dining hall was packed to the rafters with their kids running up and down the room while some successful member from the civic or business world tried to give a speech. They look on those days fondly and are bewildered by the fact that no more than 8 members show up for the average meeting today. They had no candidates in 4 years and they literally begged their members to come and participate. No one did. The men who kept that lodge barely alive tried to do things the way they have been done when most of them joined a half century ago. The same 8 men met for a meager meal before their monthly meeting. They opened lodge with perfect ritual. They read the minutes and the bills. There was rarely any business, new or old. They closed and fled the building and were home by 7:30 before primetime network programming got started for the night. Over the last 5 years, the same 8 members have been treating officer positions, and they just got tired. They were fed up, so they decided to merge with another lodge and be done with it. As with any turning point of this magnitude, all 200-plus members had to be notified of the meeting. Only 12 cared enough to show up and vote to euthanize their lodge. They had no fight in them to save their lodge. They wanted to simply slip into the ranks of another, give up their charter and their 140-year history, and vanish from memory. They had killed their own lodge with their own failure to embrace any change, and in fact, many of them were enraged that some brethren from outside of their lodge had come in to try to resurrect them at the 11th hour and interfere with their plans for a quiet suicide. They didn't do anything to appeal the new members, but neither were they serving their existing ones. They weren't broke. These were children of the Depression. They had almost $200,000 in the bank, so why did they do nothing to interest their aging members? Bus trips to Branson, $100 cruises to the Caribbean, casino boat trips, tours to Masonic sites in Britain, trips to the Holy Land, catered dinners, sponsored movie nights, loads of public awards, Medicare drug program presentations, estate planning seminars, computers at lodge to send emails to the grandkids, power chair races in the halls. In short, give their existing members a reason to keep coming to lodge, to keep enjoying it, to love it. Neither did they do anything to attract new members. They rent the lodge room in the big downtown temple building, so, like most tenant-landlord relations, they figured they didn't have to put a dime into the place if they didn't own it. That's somebody else's job. Really? If only they had tried investing in their lodge. Put in new lighting so members could see 3 feet in front of them. Upholster the sad-looking chairs and benches that have the original leather from World War I on them. Tear up the worn and moldy carpet and replace it, maybe with one of those only black and white checkered carpets in the U.S. that we talk about in our ritual but almost nobody seems to have. In short, make it look like something worth coming to. Make it look like something worth joining. Then, start kicking the members into participating in lodge, not worrying about who was going to be what officer or memorize which part of the ritual. Actually, talk about Freemasonry, its history, its symbolism, its philosophy. Actively visit other lodges and help with their degrees. Get members interested in other activities in the building or volunteering to help some of the community groups that have been meeting there with greater frequency. We talk a big line about charity and helping the community, so let's start giving time and not just a checkbook generosity. And if they still don't have a full lineup of guys willing to be officers, just sideliners, it wouldn't matter. Because once the place looked like living inhabitants occasionally might be in the place, and that it was actually a vibrant, active lodge, maybe, just maybe, some of their grandkids might get interested in Freemasonry because they were seeing Freemasonry in action instead of Freemasonry in action. The business author James O'Toole says, "People do not think well of themselves, do not act to change their condition. Even a lodge that only has 8 regular attendees has within its active ranks the resources to wake itself up, to do things that make them truly happy to be there, and sometimes to even surprise themselves. Leadership has no age, and there are no limits on imagination, but a lodge has to mean something to its members. It has to remain part of their lives every day, every week, every month, because once it's more fun or less hassle to stay squeezed comfortably in the Lazy Boy curled up with a remote control than it is to go to lodge. We have lost them. No one would ever voluntarily join a memorization club, and no one wants to join the oldest, greatest, most legendary fraternal organization in the world only to be sentenced to a lifetime of cold-cut sandwiches made with suspicious meat, generic cola, and monthly meetings of nothing but minute reading, bill paying, and petulant sniveling over why no one comes to the meetings anymore. Be honest with yourself. What rational human being seriously wants to go to the trouble of leaving home to go and listen to someone spend 20 minutes reporting that nothing happened at last month's meeting either? It will be the lodges that provide programming for their active members, whatever their age may be, that will survive and prosper into the future. But those that stubbornly cling to the notion that the lodge is no event, that the lodge is just one more meeting to be home, that the lodge is just one more meeting to be born, that lodge is that most terrible of things, ordinary, those are the lodges that will literally bore themselves to death. Those are the lodges that will slip silently away into the night, and the shadows of things that might be will have faded into the concrete reality of a deserted lodge room." "Ghost of the future," Scrooge exclaimed, "I fear you more than any specter I have seen, but as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, I am prepared to bear your company, and do it with a thankful heart." Source: Knights of the North Masonic Dictionary. This week's famous Freemason is Booker T. Washington. Born April 5, 1856 and died November 14, 1915, Booker Taliaferro Washington, a distinguished American educator, was born a slave at Hales Ford, Virginia. In 1881, he became the head of an institution at Tuskegee, Alabama, since incorporated as the Tuskegee's Normal and Industrial Institute, of which he was president until his death on November 14, 1915. Author of Up From Slavery in 1901, he was viewed as a spokesman for USA blacks in the later 19th century. While Denslow claims Washington was a made Mason at sight by the Grand Master of Prince Hall Grand Lodge of Massachusetts, and, as a resident of Alabama, did not affiliate with a lodge in this jurisdiction, Harlan claims otherwise. Quote, "Washington's continued efforts to control black public life were manifested in this period by his private efforts to control the actions of two fraternal orders of which he was not a member. He was successful in keeping one of his supporters as editor of the Odd Fellows Journal, but after heated debate, the Prince Hall Masons withdrew their invitation to Washington to be the orator on the occasion of their centennial celebration. He was, however, made a Mason at sight in Massachusetts, Prince Hall affiliate." That's it for this week. Again, remember to find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at Whence Came You. Check us out on Stitcher or our app, and now in the podcast Apple app as well. Watch for the new video and also Mystical Musings, a podcast by a special friend and brother, Travis Apollonius, will be coming soon. So give it a listen. I'm sure you will like it. I know I'm excited to hear it. I also want to mention on the website, wcypodcast.com, you will find a ton of great stuff, so check it out. Remember to check out the Midnight Freemasons as well. Questions and comments? Hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or just email me at wcypodcast@gmail.com, which, coincidentally, is also our Google Plus page. Anyway, have a great week. For Whence Came You? I'm Robert Johnson.